You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. Spotify Green Room, it's changing the way we talk sports.
And joining us on today's episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast for a Locked On Phillies, Locked On Orioles crossover podcast here is the Phillies just wrapped up a pregame series at Citizens Bank Park with the Baltimore Orioles. It is Connor Newcomb from Locked On Orioles. As I mentioned, Connor, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing all right. So, you know, we realized before we started this podcast, we'll get a little preview I don't think I realized that we were both on the Locked On Podcast Network till this week, but we actually met each other 2 years ago, kind of just small broadcasting world, calling junior NBA games down in your neck of the woods in District Heights, Maryland, 2 years ago. So that was kind of funny. I know you're doing some work for Johns Hopkins now. I'm, you know, working in radio up here. So kind of funny to see the two directions of the teams. Just really quickly, I didn't even ask you this before we started. Lifelong Orioles fans, how long have you been doing Locked On? Just quick preview here.
Oh yeah, always an Orioles fan. I was actually born shortly after the 97 playoff run ended in the ALCS, so I was not alive for an Orioles postseason team or winning record until 2012. So that was kind of tough for a while there, and we are kind of right back into it. What I knew growing up as an Orioles fan, but been hosting Locked On Orioles since January of 2020. So I did about a month and a half of podcasts until things got flipped on its head pandemic wise. But yeah, I've been doing it since then. And the Orioles have been really bad since I've been hosting this podcast, but we get through it.
Personally, not quite as long. I've been doing it since October of 2020, Locked On Phillies, coming up on a year here. Certainly an interesting season for the Phillies nonetheless. And what you just said gives me the perfect segue, because the Phillies are coming up on 10 straight years of not making the playoffs. I grew up in a little bit more spoiled of a run than when you just described. They, of course, won the World Series in 2008, made the playoffs, winning the National League East for five consecutive seasons, 2007 to 2011. And they haven't had a winning season since. And part of that reason, you know, and certainly in recent years, has been the inability to beat up on bad teams and struggle against bad teams. And I know they just won two out of three, and, you know, all due respect to the Orioles and your listeners, but they have 104 losses. And the fact that they lost game one, and then in game two, it took extra innings to barely pull out a win. And then last night it comes down to the wire and it looks like a home run off the bat after the Orioles draw a few walks. Not great for the Phillies, and they're hanging on by dear life here. But I'll ask you about the Orioles first, and we'll get to a few bits of news. Just kind of overall on the season. I know there weren't necessarily expectations of the season, you know, this being a contending year, which it did exist for the Phillies. But are you overall, like, how do you grade this Orioles season? Because when you have 104 losses, I can't imagine, regardless of expectations, that makes anyone in Baltimore too happy.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's worse than we expected, but not by a lot. I mean, okay,
I remember seasons like that, to be fair. Yeah.
Not too long ago. It's not like the Orioles went into this season thinking, all right, you know, this is the year where they might challenge, you know, 80 wins. Maybe they could be a 500 team. Like, no, we knew this was going to be awful. You looked at the roster in the winter, you looked at the roster on opening day, like, you knew. And honestly, like, there have been some pleasant surprises that have made it a little better. Like, no one saw Cedric Mullins coming. Like, he might finish third for AL MVP. Like, Ryan Mountcastle, he might finish third for AL Rookie of the Year. Now, a lot of people saw that coming because he was good last year. John Means showed us that he can be an ace. Like, we thought he was good, but not to this level. He threw a no-hitter. So you get all that stuff. That takes you to the positive end. Then you get pretty much nothing from the rest of your starting pitching, which was all disappointing because they gave a lot of chances to a lot of young guys. Nobody's really stepped up. You had injuries that have really hurt this team. You have had disappointing seasons from guys like Anthony Santander, who kind of had his breakout year in 2020. You had other guys who just, you know, haven't been able to stay healthy consistently. And we get to the point where I would say it's probably like a C season for the Orioles. I mean, they lost more games. They're going to lose more games than I thought they would have. I thought they had a chance to avoid 100 losses this year, and they're obviously at 104. But it's like, you know, if they finish with 52 wins, maybe I'll say that they finish with this year. Like, it's not any much worse than 62 wins. I mean, you get the same result. You end up right around the same draft pick. And you're, it's more about the development in the minors than the wins at the majors. So it's kind of hard to grade out the season, but I give C because it's still a little disappointing that they didn't do a little bit better.
More Locked On Phillies coming right up. But first, have to tell you about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. If you talk to the Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorite. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors by now, you're certainly missing out. Coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors by now, you can get a mix box where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. Built Bars, they're not just the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Again, amazing flavors, all tasty, but they're all healthy too. The offer right now, if you go to built.com, use that promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your first order. One last time, it's LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Also have to tell you about betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college action this season, and of course this coming weekend and each and every weekend throughout the fall and winter. With new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use that.
So I have to ask, because I remember many Philly seasons at the end of the year where it's just dragging on. Do you watch each game with an individual outlook of like, maybe they'll just win today? Are you just thinking about the future? Like, what is your mindset when you watch these games? Does it feel like more of an obligation and just like pulling teeth? Like, how do you get, because baseball is long, and I always say it's the worst season because of the length to be bad in, and especially when you're this bad. Like, it can just be real, and it's slow, and it can be boring, quite frankly. As much as I love the game of baseball, it can be boring when your team's lost this many games.
I mean, I love baseball, and so it's easy to turn it on. And I think my listeners know this too. Like, I am not watching all 9 innings of all 162 games. I think no human being could do that
physically, pull it off. Yeah.
No matter how good your team is, it's an everyday 3-hour plus commitment. Like, you can't do that. But I'm checked into every game. Doesn't mean I'm watching every game. My listeners know this too. There's games this season I have not watched any of the game live. Now go back and, you know, flip on YouTube and watch the, you know, 7-minute highlight video, you know, look MLB app, watch the highlights, you know, I'm scanning the box scores, I'm reading other stuff, and I kind of have the gist of every game and I know what's going on in every game. But people know that I'm going to lose my complete sanity if I try to sit down and watch every Orioles game, especially on a 100 plus loss team. So it's more about kind of picking your spots too. Like, right now I'm checked in because Cedric Mullins is one home run away from 30. You know, he was 6 inches away from 30 the other night, just missing hitting the foul pole in Philly. And so that's,
for the record, I think he hit it. I don't know about you.
Well, yeah. But
I wasn't making the call on that.
Right. But we're still, you know, locked into every Cedric Mullins at bat, because that's the first 30-30 season ever in Orioles history. If he hits one more homer, he's already got the 30 steals, he's got 29 homers. It's, you know, watching the John Means starts, because you're still dialed into John Means, and, you know, he throws a great start on Monday night, and you're thinking about, you know, he's that ace coming back next year. And it's also about, you know, there's still things to watch, because besides John Means, the Orioles are basically throwing out 4 other young starting pitchers with not a lot of major league experience. And you're basically trying to see, where do these guys fall in terms of games? But it's also, it's funny, because we're talking about this series, you know, Monday night, I'm fairly locked into the game. Means is pitching well. It's a good game to watch. Tuesday night, I'm like, Orioles bullpen game is the worst sentence you could say to me in 2021. So there's nothing I want to do there. But when you get to the ninth inning and we're tied at one, I'm back in. And I was kind of hanging on every pitch in the ninth and 10th inning because, you know, you've got a team that's really bad and they could win a game against a fairly okay to good baseball team in extra innings. So, you know, I watched the entire ninth and 10th innings of Tuesday. And then the Wednesday game, you know, I'm checking in on Keegan Aiken because, you know, there's somewhat of a hope for the future of him. And he comes out of the game and, you know, that's kind of it for me. And then I check back in for the ninth because Cedric Mullins is coming up again with a chance to put the Orioles on top. So it's kind of how you got to go through the season at this point and pick your spots because it can be hard to watch at times.
I wanted to quickly ask, because I was actually at the game last night, only saw him in a pinch hit appearance, but one of the big stories in all of baseball this year, and I actually got a chance to go out to the Home Run Derby and see this guy, and the reception was great. It was obviously, you know, Trey Mancini returning from cancer. What has been, I mean, I think I have an idea, but you could probably speak to it a lot better. The reception in Baltimore to him coming back, obviously he hasn't had the greatest season statistically, but just from a moral standpoint and finding storylines within the course of an otherwise bad season.
Yeah, I mean, the fans in Baltimore love Trey Mancini. Everyone loves Trey Mancini. I mean, Trey, he has not hit to the level he did in 2019 when he was kind of one of the all-star snubs that year, and he finished with a fantastic year. And the power's been there at times. You know, you've seen him kind of, he's definitely lost a step speed-wise. He's been kind of unlucky this year too. He's grounded into an unbelievable, I think it's almost 20 double plays he's grounded into this year, which is just an insane amount, honestly, when you kind of look at the leaders across the league every year. And, you know, he's had to take some days off, obviously, but he's been fairly healthy. He's stayed off the injured list all year. And he hasn't been, again, 2019 Trey. He hasn't been kind of the young Trey Mancini we saw at the plate. And the other thing that has definitely affected him is, you know, he was a first base slash corner outfield type, you know, 17, 18, and 19. He could play left and right field. He wasn't great, but they could put him out there. He has not played the outfield at all this season. He's either been at first base or DHing. And I think that has something to do with it as well. So that has kind of taken back a little bit of his value in a baseball sense. But in terms of just the person, Mancini, I mean, he's still having a solid year. He's a major league average to, you know, a bit above average hitter this season. He's still got some pop in the bat, and it's still fantastic when he has a moment for the Orioles. And he is still the, you know, heart and soul of this O's team. And, you know, we're at a tough point because 2022 is the last year he's under contract with the Orioles. And there was essentially fear that the Orioles would trade him at this year's deadline. There were a lot of reasons why that didn't happen. He stuck around, and there's fears that he's going to be dealt this offseason before the final year of the deal. And, you know, other parts with that is that he can't really play the outfield anymore, it seems. Ryan Mountcastle is essentially the same player as Trey Mancini, and Mountcastle is just a better version of Trey at this point. And so the hope would be that Mancini, after a full season, knows what he has with his body, gets even healthier, comes back in 2022 ready to go. But, you know, putting all that aside, it's full support from Baltimore. I mean, the ovation on opening day was awesome for Trey returning to the lineup. Like, it's been everybody fully behind Mancini all year.
So I wanted to kind of dial it back to this series specifically. So as I mentioned, Phillies do get 2 out of 3, barely in a lot of respects. I mean, it came down to like the final batter, JT Realmuto being the last hope on Tuesday night. They barely escaped with a win last night. You mentioned, I was kind of chuckling at the bullpen game on Tuesday because it was also a scheduled bullpen game for the Phillies. Now, Adonis Medina did end up being the starter, but he, you know, hasn't been a true starter in the majors, I mean, really since last year. And he hasn't made a ton of major league starts, and he's not going that deep into the game for you. So for the large part, it was a bullpen game for the Phillies too, which it's funny because everyone, when people hear Phillies bullpen game, they're like, I can't believe this team's contending. Like, how do you even take themselves seriously when the fifth spot is a bullpen game? They've actually fared quite well in those games in a nutshell. Now it causes this ripple effect where the next day or two, you have no one available and you're losing those games. It's not exactly ideal for a team that is contending, but that kind of leads me to my question of, well, a lot of has been made of this year's Phillies bullpen management. Now I have thoughts on Joe Girardi that I'll give in a second, but you actually mentioned to me, and I did quickly see this before we started, that the Orioles extended Brandon Hyde, and obviously managers, you know, traditionally don't get extended after 100 or 100 plus loss seasons. What do you think is going into that mindset from the Orioles of like, is he just a good players type of manager. There were no expectations, so we're going to give you more of a chance with this thing. Like, what is the reasoning behind that after such a struggling down year?
Yeah, I think there's kind of two important things to know when you say Brandon Hyde extension. When he was hired before the 2019 season, he was given a three-year deal. So this would have been the last year of his three-year deal. And the extension was one extra year. So he's only signed through 2022 at this point. So it's not like they gave him five more years and said, this is our guy. The second thing is, it was finally came out and leaked yesterday that he was given this one-year extension. But the reporting was that it was kind of a handshake agreement between him and the Orioles and was already maybe pen to paper months ago. And so this had been done between him and the O's. I think the season had already started, but you know, it didn't happen yesterday. And so that's something to think about too, is that, you know, they didn't maybe know that it would be 100+ loss season. But either way, again, it's only 1 year. And the thing about Brandon Hyde is there is a faction of Orioles fans who don't want Brandon Hyde as the manager right now. And the reasoning for that is because, like, it has to do with the losses and bullpen management and lineup management. And I come in on the other side where I don't know if Brandon Hyde is a great Major League Baseball manager. I don't know if he's a good one. I think he's good for this current situation because he came in 2019 when the entire cupboard was bare of Orioles major league players, minor league players, development systems, everything. They were overhauling everything. And the Angeloses and Mike Elias, they hired Brandon Hyde telling him, this is what you're getting into. There is not going to be a lot of winning. And he knew that. He was on board with that. He took this job as his first managerial job. You know, he was on the bench with the Cubs with Joe Maddon before that, before he came out of the Orioles. And so that's why I like him for this spot, because he was prepared for this. And that's why I like him to at least be here for one more year. And I'm hoping, I like Brandon Hyde, and I'm hoping he's here for longer than that. And I hope he's the manager of the next good Orioles team. But the sentiment that, like, Brandon Hyde shouldn't come back because he's not managing the bullpen well for this team, like, what do you want him to do? Like, when he looks out into the bullpen, who do you want him to bring in the game? Like, you watched the Tuesday game, the bullpen game. Like, what's he supposed to do out there? He had to bring in a 36-year-old who was just recalled from AAA, who had already been DFA'd once this season, who had an ERA over 7. That's who he had to bring into the game to close it out in the 10th with a 2-1 lead. That wasn't his choice. No, it was a bullpen game already. That was the only viable major league pitcher they had left in the bullpen. And Cesar Valdez was one out away from getting out of that inning. Like, he almost made it through. That guy's got 8 saves. He's the Orioles saves leader this year when he had a good start to the year before things fell apart. He throws a 78-mile-per-hour changeup. That's what he throws. Like, that's what Brandon Hyde has to go to. When he's been able to rely on relievers this year, there's been guys like Cole Sulcer, who you saw in that series. He's been pretty good this year. Tyler Wells, who had the save in game one of the series. He's the Orioles closer right now. He was the Rule 5 pick this year. He had not pitched above high A until this season. That's the closer you're given. His best reliever all year for Brandon Hyde, Paul Fry, who was a fantastic lefty in the first half of the season, apparently was a sticky stuff guy because he's now in AAA because he couldn't throw a strike after July. And so that's what Brandon Hyde has to work with. He doesn't have any good relievers. And so it's kind of like people being mad, oh, he brought in Dylan Tate when he should have brought in, you know, whoever, Connor Green in this situation. I'm like, you're arguing about players who might not be on the Orioles in 2 years because they want to contend, and those just aren't good major league pitchers. And so I'm kind of at the point where, like, I'm on board with the one-year extension because the Orioles are going to start bringing up prospects next year, legit prospects. They're going to start paying players a little bit this offseason, free agents. And so next year might be the first year where you can actually start to evaluate Brandon Hyde as a manager. Like, you haven't had a chance to evaluate him because the team's been so bad. The roster's been so terrible, and that's not his fault. And he's done pretty well with it. I mean, they won 25 games in the 60-game season last year, way more than anyone expected. People were writing articles at the beginning of last year saying, well, the Orioles win single-digit games in the 60-game season, and they won 25. So I think Brandon Hyde deserves to be back. I just can't get in the mindset of, like, he didn't bring in this recent waiver claim over this guy we just brought up from this 28-year-old who we just brought up from AAA. Like, what do you want?
Anyone would have known that. Yeah. Really quickly, I have to ask you about the decision the other night, because I actually thought, usually I would agree with what he did. It was in Tuesday's game where they decided to face Realmuto. First of all, smart idea in my mind, walking Bryce Harper. A lot of people say you don't put the go-ahead runner on base. If it's Bryce Harper versus the rest of the Phillies lineup, I'm throwing that sentiment out the window. That's first thing. Number two, I could have literally, and maybe this is what I know about the Phillies, bought into walking JT Realmuto because he's actually kind of had a resurgence here the past week. I know you're loading the bases and now you're putting the winning run at second base, but to face Andrew Knapp, who stinks. And I was surprised at how many, maybe I'm overblowing how many, but there are still Orioles fans in existence. And I tweeted as a joke. I'm like, ah, this is the most controversial Orioles managerial decision I've ever seen. Obviously alluding to the joke of Buck Showalter in the wild card game. Right. And first of all, besides the fact some people just like did not get it, which that's fine. A lot of them don't follow me, know that I do stuff like that a lot. They're like, oh, well, what about that? And then a lot of people are like, well, you can't even put the winning run on first base. So I was surprised to see, and I'll get your take on the decision the other night, how many people are still, or that there are still people riding on managerial decisions in late September when the team's, you know, a billion games out of a playoff spot.
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content. It varies by package. Also have to tell you about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts you need in that storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts in their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for more than 20 years. The prices are reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all of the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked on in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com.
I love the passion.
Yeah,
and I want us to be back at a time. I want us to be back to the time where on September 21st, we are hanging on every Brandon Hyde decision to every batter in the 10th inning. I want that to be the case for the entire fan base, and I want that soon because that means you're in it. But like the team's got 48 wins in September. You obviously walk the NL MVP. No question about it. I don't want Bryce Harper hitting against the guy who throws 78. Put him on base. Now, I talked about this a little bit, like, yeah, on a better, more competent Orioles team with a better pitcher out there, I probably would have walked Realmuto too. And I think Buck Showalter would have walked Realmuto. He was a guy who was not afraid to do stuff like that. Of course, he was the guy who walked Barry Bonds with the bases loaded and had it work out. Because Andrew Knapp, as you said, was the only hitter left. The pitcher spot was up next. And Andrew Knapp literally cannot hit. He is a defensive backup catcher.
Yes.
And so... And I get that. But, you know, you go after Realmuto. You just made a good right-handed hitter in Gene Segura look really silly two batters earlier. Like, you know, Segura and Realmuto have kind of had similar seasons, I feel like, at least production-wise, even though Realmuto has probably been a better player lately in terms of years-wise. But, you know, similar kind of thing. If you feel like Valdez had the dead fish working, which it was working, that's what he calls his changeup, to get Segura like that. You put Harper on, you try to go right back to Realmuto. And to be honest with you, I think he was trying to pitch around Realmuto and get him to chase, and he just left one up. You know, that pitch to Realmuto that hit, like, that was barely a strike.
No, it was up and out.
Really well. And so I think he was trying to unintentionally, intentionally walk him. He just missed a little bit. And I think they still had the plan to go after Andrew Knapp. But, like, 48 wins in September. And, like, yeah, I guess if we're a winning team, you could – the great argument to say pitch to Knapp. I probably would have done that. But, like –
that's the time you break it out. Yeah. Like that's the time you take it.
I love the passion, but like just like maybe go outside for a walk and like not tweet that like Brandon Hyde should be fired because he had his 36-year-old changeup closer pitched to one guy instead of the other on a 48-win team. Like I think people need a little perspective. And I get the argument if the team is better, but like here we are in September.
Here's the first thing I thought of, right? In the same week that the Ravens went for it on fourth and one on their own 40 in a game that like actually matters and like took the risk of all risk. And it's the kind of thing you do in Madden, but very rarely coaches truly have, you know, the stones to do it in real life because of the potential backlash that will come if it doesn't work. I figured the Orioles would do it when it actually doesn't matter. Like that's the type of thing you would do in a video game. All right, we're just going to face snap. Whatever, doesn't matter. I guess I shouldn't be relating to different sports in the same city anyway, but I thought that would have been kind of funny. Like people in Baltimore are going to get mad over walking the bases loaded for Knapp when they just, it was praised what Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson did going for it on fourth down and it won the game. I guess it's a great decision only if it works. I wanted to dial this back to Joe Girardi though, because I do internally and externally as well have the debate of like how much a manager really affects what's on the field. So one of the main storylines going on in Philadelphia this year isn't even based out of Philadelphia. It's the fact that this team basically hovered around 500 for 2 years under Gabe Kapler. He goes out to San Francisco and they're going to win 100 games and potentially win the NL West over the Dodgers. And if not, they're going to be one of the greatest wildcard teams of all time. And I was never anti-Kapler, but many were. He was not a fan favorite here in Philadelphia. And so now it's created this whole debate of like, well, how much do managers actually do? Because Joe Girardi, the established World Series champion who came from New York, is basically getting the same season. I mean, they might win a few more games here. I also think the team's more talented. And I actually think Girardi's been worse than Kapler has been, because Kapler, I thought, was dealt a worse hand. Like, how much, in your opinion, does a manager really affect a team? And I agree with you. I don't think you can judge Brandon Hyde or any manager for that matter who's set to manage a team like this Orioles team when you're dealing with Rule 5 guys and guys who have been DFA'd off of other rosters and basically a minor league team, especially by the end of the season. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.